Watch out for the pretzel.
How dare you criticize Kelly Stafford for throwing a pretzel?
Look out. Heads up. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN. All right, Matthew Berry, talented Mr. Roto. Nobody knows more about fantasy football than this guy. I rely on his advice every single time he puts out the love-hate column. When I get my email from fantasylife.com every single day, I'm checking to see who I should be picking up on the waiver wire, who I should be playing, all that stuff. And we provide this valuable resource to you guys. And joining us right now is the talented Mr. Roto, Matthew Berry. Matthew, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We are excellent, Matthew. And Matthew, I think, you know, you have a friendship with Mace that goes way back. I think as his friend, you should ask him to stop mentioning in his intro of you that he relies on you for every move that he makes. Because once again, Matthew, right, Mason is dead last in the Hollywood Football League.
No, I'm second to last.
There we go.
So you're 11th?
Yes, I'm second to last. Somebody is worse than me.
Wow.
Listen, that's progress. That's progress. You know, like sometimes you see, listen, he's been last place Mace for years, John Ireland.
Yes.
And, you know, sometimes you see, these TV shows, you know, my 600-pound life. and you sit there and you go like, well, you're not losing weight. And they're like, well, I'm down to 590. And
you're
like, but you know what? Like, it's baby steps here.
Okay,
like, you know what?
It.
He's no longer last place Mace. Like, I'm not a miracle worker over here.
Yeah, it's like, I'm 4-6, man. That's a pretty good year for me.
You got lots of time left. Okay, so Matthew, Mason and I have been criticized that we take too much of your time
up. Which we already have.
No, by asking nothing but personal questions about our fantasy teams, which we openly admit we are guilty of. So today, just today, this is an all-listener edition of This or That with Matthew Berry. We're going right to the phones, and we're going to start with Brian in L.A. Hey, Brian, you're on with Matthew Berry. What's your dilemma?
Hey, guys. Matthew, newsletter is clutch. Deonta Foreman or Cordarrelle Patterson?
Well, let's see if Cordarrelle Patterson is active tonight. Like, he's been sort of he's been banged up a little bit, but I think if Cordarrelle Patterson is active, I think he's been so hot, you have to do it. Listen, I get the question. Deonta Foreman has been the better running back of the Titans. It's a good matchup against Houston, so I think it's closer than you normally would think, but you're still going to have some Peterson. We don't know about the status of Jeremy McNichols, who's currently in the concussion protocol but might be cleared by Sunday. So there's a chance he's in a three-headed monster there. Patterson's been so hot. If he's active, I think you got to start him. So I think you'll have your answer, you know, about an hour before game time.
Thank you, Brian. Jay in Birmingham. Hey, Jay, you're on with Matthew Berry. What do you got?
Hey, Damian Harris or Ramondre Stevenson?
Damian Harris. So, this is a question that I think a lot of people are struggling with, and it's the Patriots. Like, there's probably nothing dumber in fantasy football than getting on a radio show or a TV show and declaring what you think the Patriots will do, because it's always wrong. The Patriots do whatever it is. Having said all that, my expectation is Damian Harris, who was so good up until leaving the game, you know, for many weeks, up until leaving that game with a concussion 2 weeks ago, that even though Stevenson was great last week, he's had some fumbling issues. He's been a healthy scratch sometimes this year. From what I'm hearing, like, I've been talking to some sources around the team, from what I am hearing, it's going to be a 65-35 split, Harris with the 65. So I would prefer him going against the Falcons and their 26th ranked run defense over the last 4 weeks.
Mace, you got a tweet?
Yes. Let's go to Ernesto. Ryan Tannehill or Carson Wentz?
It's a close one, but I'm going to go with Ryan Tannehill, who actually made my love list this week at home against the Texans. Believe it or not, Ryan Tannehill has a rushing touchdown in 5 of the last 6 games. Like, they're using him a lot at the goal line, and so I like the matchup here with the Texans as well, who've been a bottom 12 pass defense over the last 4 weeks. So Wentz has a tough matchup, obviously, going up against Buffalo.
All right, Steve wants to know, T. Higgins or Tyler Lockett?
I'm going to go with T. Higgins. I understand it's been frustrating with T. Higgins, but the usage has been there, and it's a really good matchup with the Raiders, who have struggled in their secondary recently. It's a high over-under as well, so I'm going to go with Higgins there.
Okay, one more before we go back to the phones. Elijah Mitchell or Michael Pittman at flex?
I think that's another one that you'll have to figure out, wait to see. Like, Elijah Mitchell, if he's healthy, again, he's dealing with the finger injury, playing against the Jaguars. Jags have actually played pretty decent defense recently, so it's not as much of a layup as you might think. But, again, Pittman going up against the Buffalo Bills, who are top three in the NFL in pretty much every stat against wide receivers. Pittman actually made the hate list this week. He hasn't been getting a ton of targets. He's been very touchdown dependent. I don't think he has more than six targets. I think only once since week five. So if Mitchell is active, I'm going to go with Mitchell.
All right, let's go back to the phones. Eddie in Winnetka. Hey, Eddie, you're on with Matthew Berry.
Hey, Matthew. Question. I know you just spoke about the dilemma with the Patriots. But I only got two. So McKissick from the Washington football team or Stevenson? And before I go, vote for Jorge.
Hey, vote for Jorge. Excellent.
Matthew, McKissick or Stevenson?
I'm going to go with Ramondre Stevenson there. You know, the thing about McKissick is that he often plays when the Washington football team is down. Washington football team, like you think about Carolina, right, where we expect Cam Newton to start, so that means it's going to be a run-heavy team. You know, Panthers are favored by three, and they're at home. So it's basically, Vegas is basically saying they think this is a pick 'em. So I don't think that Washington gets blown out here. You know what I'm saying? Like, I think it's a pretty close game. And so being a close game, I think you see a lot of Antonio Gibson as a result. So, I prefer Ramondre Stevenson in a better game script than J.D. McKissick.
All right, here's Mike in Long Beach with a quarterback dilemma. Hey, Mike, lay it on Matthew.
Matthew, I'm looking for either to start Aaron Rodgers or Hurts this weekend.
Aaron Rodgers or Jalen Hurts?
I'm going to go with Jalen Hurts.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, listen, first off, Jalen Hurts has been nothing short of fantastic. He has more weeks as a number one quarterback, meaning a top 10 fantasy quarterback, than any other quarterback.
I keep telling you, John, this is where my Jalen Hurts idea comes from. It all comes from Matthew.
Jalen Hurts has been terrific. Saints, by the way, have struggled defensively. They're 26th against the pass over the last 4 weeks. Aaron Rodgers playing Minnesota. Mike Zimmer has played him tough. Generally speaking, I mean, last year was a disaster, but over the years, more often than not, Zimmer plays him tough. Rodgers hasn't practiced this week, and so we expect him to play, but it's close. I have both guys inside my top 10, but I have Hurts ranked higher.
All right, another QB dilemma, Kevin in Long Beach. Hey, Kevin, you're on with Matthew Berry.
Oh, hi, Matthew. I got Dak Prescott or Derek Carr?
Dak. Not close.
Yeah, that Not doesn't close. Sound like much of a dilemma.
All right, here's Luisio on Twitter. Michael Gallup or Tyler Lockett?
Tyler Lockett. I get it. Lockett's been brutal. I feel like he has a better game against Arizona at home. Both, you know, they took a lot of shots to him. Just Russell Wilson was brutal last week. But they took a lot of shots to him. Gallup's at best, maybe the fourth or fifth option in that offense after Lamb and Cooper and Zeke, and you could argue maybe Schultz as well. And so, listen, that should be a shootout against Kansas City. So it's close. Gallup's probably more of the floor guy because when Lockett's brutal, he is brutal. But a gut feeling that says Lockett has a big game on Sunday.
All right, Miami D or Saints D for the rest of the season?
Actually, the Miami defense, if you look at their upcoming schedule, it's really nice, starting with this week against the Jets. So that's a close one, but I'm going to go with the Dolphins. Based on schedule.
Okay.
All right, Matthew, here's just a general question for you that I was just curious about. What do you get asked more than anything else? Like, if you're going through an airport or people see you and they recognize you, what do you get more than anything from just random people that recognize you?
If it's a question, it's always like a start-sit question or, or should I make this trade kind of thing. But generally speaking, when I get recognized, it is usually somebody that just appreciates something that I've done, and it's usually the column. Usually they will mention a specific story that I wrote that spoke to them, whether it's, my daughter breaking her arms or, meeting my wife or, you know, the heart attack column, et cetera.
My favorite,
so it's always a specific column, usually.
My favorite one that sticks out of all your columns, and the heart attack one was spectacular and really well written, but I love the one about the way you got your house, how you appealed to the homeowner that was nervous to sell their house to somebody, and you basically just opened your heart and said, this is my family, and here's why you should sell us your house. That I think that is maybe my favorite column you've ever written.
I appreciate that. That one comes up a lot, and it's always one of those, when you write it, you never know how. I never thought that was, quote, a great column. Like, I thought it was kind of a good story, but that one comes up a lot, so I appreciate you saying that. See, you know, there are times when I write something, I'm like, man, they're going to love this, and people are like, eh, okay. And there are ones I'm like, all right, this one's, you know, this one's fine. And then people are like, oh, my God, that was – so you never sort of know what people will react to. But, yeah, generally speaking, it's either a specific story or the podcast. They'll mention the podcast quite a bit too.
All right, speaking of the podcast, it is available, obviously, at the ESPN Pod Center, and your show every Sunday morning, and your newsletter, fantasylife.com. Sign up for that. It's fantastic. And as always, Matthew, we love having you on. We really appreciate it. I know you're busy at this time of the week, so thank you.
My pleasure, guys. We'll talk to you next week, and congratulations, Mason, on getting into second to last. It's progress.
Second to last place, Mace. Thank you,
Matt. Journey starts with a step.
Yes, it does. Yeah, yes, it does.
Every journey starts with a step.
That's a good slogan. Today, by the way, is National Philosophy Day. National Philosophy Day.
Really?
Every journey starts with a step.
Good to know. Good to know. Hey, coming up, I may have some really good news for you.
Okay.
All right, I'll tease it that way. Really good news for you.
Okay, good. I'm excited about this.
Okay,
that is coming up next for you. Don't forget the Fez in 1 hour. So all your gambling stuff, and I'm telling you right now, I'm putting 10,000 mythical dollars on the Patriots tonight. It's Patriots minus 4 tonight. Patriots minus 7 over Atlanta tonight. Atlanta's crap. And by the way, he said Cordarrelle Patterson. Everything I've read is Cordarrelle Patterson's probably not going to play for Atlanta. But we'll wait and see. He says wait till an hour before game time. All right, more Mason and Ireland coming up next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
All right, let me talk to you about our favorite partner here on the Mason and Ireland show, and that's Mirror Audio Video in Westwood. If you've been thinking about automating your home or office and you want to know about Control 4, Savant, or Crestron, there's no one that can guide you through the process like Isaac and Roy and the team at Mirror Audio Video in Westwood for more than 38 years. People who defend on audio and video for a living, like ESPN LA, like the Staples Center. Isaac just did a complete refresh there. They've always chosen Mirror, and so should you. The timing is better than ever because the technology is so advanced and yet so simple. These companies, like Control 4, like Savant, like Crestron, offer one button control for everything. Heat and air, lights, the pool, alarm systems, window shades. You name it, and Mirror can design it, and they're there for you, a real person. If you have any questions anytime, call Mirror Audio Video today. See what they can do for you. 310-234-4010. That's 310-234-4010. Tell them Mason and Ireland sent you, and Isaac will hook you up. Check them out at Mirror Audio Video.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
I got a tweet here, John, from Mason Mafia. Mason Mafia.
He's back. The Mason Mafia.
It is at the Mace, M-A-C-E Mafia. If imaging is about the show, why does Morales talk about himself throughout most of the promos?
Very fair question.
It's a very interesting question from Mason Mafia.
I'm sure Chris will answer it in his next promo because it will give him a reason to talk about himself.
I got a tweet. Will it be embarrassing for LA in 2028 Summer Olympics when basketball games are being played in the Crypto Arena? Now, I tweeted back, absolutely not, whether people like it or not. Cryptocurrency is a real thing that will be mainstream in 5 years. John, how long do you think it's going to take for people to stop calling it Staples Center?
Oh, some people never will. I've talked about this before. If you're the second name in on a building, it is oftentimes it takes a long time to stick.
Yeah.
But because all of the broadcast partners, the people like us and Spectrum and everybody else are going to be calling it, you know, crypto.com arena. Eventually,
didn't really roll off the tongue for you there.
Well, I think they know that. I think that they know it's going to take some time, but I don't think people will be shouted down or looked at as angry if they refer to it as Staples Center. I think Staples Center will be there forever.
Yeah, the Tonio tweeted this. Mason told us to buy Bitcoin like 5 years ago. Now I can afford courtside seats at Crypto Arena for decades. I have never given out financial advice on the show. I do not, but I did start talking about Bitcoin probably 5 years ago.
Okay, so do you want this good news that I have for you?
Yeah, I'm dying for some good news.
All right. Now, I don't know how – I because we've never had an actual serious conversation about this. I've made fun of you for years about it.
Okay.
But I just pulled up a list of all the stars on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
If you want to do this, there are many, many people that are local media personalities, and many of them from radio.
Oh,
remember
really?
Remember our old friend Dan Avey, who's no longer
yeah,
with us?
Yeah, Dan Avey.
Dan worked with us at 710. Dan's got a star.
Wow.
Jim Hill, Fred Rogen, and Rob Fukuzaki all have stars.
Wow.
Jim Gray has a star. You know, our friend Jim Gray. I mean, a lot of people have stars that are, you know, just for being a local media celebrity. I mean, if you want to do this, Mark and Brian have a star.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people say if we're going to do it, it has to be a Mason and Ireland star.
I disagree. Okay, now here's the thing. John Ireland, who was an actor in the 50s, already has a star, and it's on Hollywood Boulevard. So I can claim that as mine. We need a Steve Mason star. And I think that, you know, we've often joked about it.
Yep.
But you could get this done if you come up with the 50K. That's all you got to do. It's going to take money.
It's going to be a Kickstarter campaign.
Well, maybe. Come on, man. You got
talk
money.
About,
what?
Talk about lowbrow. I'm going to star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame. I'm going to use a Kickstarter campaign.
No, but seriously, you have money. I mean, you don't like talking about it, but you have money.
No.
What would be a better use of your money? Brian, your friend Brian Cranston, of course, has a star.
Yeah.
What would be a better use of your money than to invest? Is there anything you would get
into
more
invest in my ego?
Yeah. Is there anything you would get more satisfaction out of? I can't literally. Bergman, can you think of anything off the top of your head that Mason would get more satisfaction out of than having a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame?
Only if it's something like there's a monument made after him.
Well, that is a monument.
Like in a mountain.
Stan Chambers, local TV reporter Stan Chambers, has a star on the Walk of Fame.
See?
Ice Cube, O'Shea's dad, star
sure,
on the
well,
Walk.
Sure, I mean, Ice Cube is Ice Cube.
But like, Mace, wouldn't you want like your face built into a mountain?
Sure, I mean, I'll take that. I think that's less likely to happen than a star in the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
Probably this, costs a little more.
This
probably
star,
my only monument will be in a cemetery somewhere.
This star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame thing is definitely doable if you come up with the dough. So I'm just letting you know that.
Okay. I'm going to but I can't nominate myself. That's
I'll nominate you, but you got to pay. I'm not paying. But I'll nominate you if you pay.
Okay, you nominate me.
Okay.
You nominate me.
I am starting this ball rolling.
Okay, excellent. All right, so I wanted to, you know, the Rams were awful in that game on Monday night against the 49ers. By the way, the MegaCast was a huge success.
Oh, was it good?
Yeah, it was a huge success. There was all kinds of what they call engagement on Twitch and on
YouTube.
And
you figured out the mythical money, right? That I don't really have 150. I have more like 70-something.
You have 80.
Yeah. You have 80.
Yeah. That sounds right. That sounds right. Okay.
So, yeah, we did figure out the mythical money. You did a complicated hedge there, and you have 80,000, which means that Bergman is the leader right now with 127,000.
But Bergman,
you lost
35. Okay, so you're within striking distance. You've got 135? Okay.
Yeah, I was over 160.
Bergman's got 127. Yep. I've got 91. Jorge's got 86, and Ireland has 80. So we're all completely in it.
Wink Martindale has a star. You're more famous.
There
than
you go,
Wink Martindale.
So Bergman, where are you on the Peloton bet? You've got 25,000 mythical dollars on the fact that you were going to ride it 18 times.
Yeah,
in the
how's
month
that?
Of November.
How's
where
that going, Skinny?
I have actually gone 4 days in a row and 11 days out of this month. So and I'll go again tomorrow. It's now my routine. I figured it out. I wake up.
So wait a minute.
I take the dog out for a walk.
You have 12 days left to do six.
To do
right?
seven.
Yeah, we settled on 18, right?
Yeah.
19 is what we settled on? Okay.
18. No. We settled on 18. I've done 11.
That could go. Okay. So you need seven more.
Right.
This thing could go either way. You're
no,
one
I think
bender
he's,
away.
I think he's going to do it. I'll tell you, there's no motivator like mythical money.
It is.
When I find out there's mythical money involved, I mean, I take it seriously. When football weekend,
maybe the Hollywood Walk of Fame would take $50,000 in mythical,
in mythical money. Yeah, when the weekend's going on, I'm constantly paying attention to everybody's mythical money bets. Like I take that seriously. Coming up next for you, John, the new ESPN NFL power rankings are out, and they are surprising. Plus, there is a new candidate. To become the next James Bond following in Daniel Craig's footsteps.
Is it Marcellus Wiley?
It's not Marcellus, but he would be a good choice.
Damn.
We've got that coming up for you next. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Yeah, what is up? It is Thursday, day after the Lakers lose at Milwaukee, and Giannis Antetokounmpo absolutely dominated the Lakers last night, 47 points. The Lakers, and I couldn't quite figure it out.
That guy's pretty good.
I couldn't quite figure out why we didn't see more DeAndre Jordan, why we didn't see more Dwight Howard in that game. They played a combined 13 minutes. Obviously, Anthony Davis was no match for Giannis.
Right,
why not go big at that point?
Well, Giannis was going right around everybody anyway. I mean, their first 12 points were in the paint, and 10 of them were from Giannis. So I don't know if – I think the reason that they wanted Melo – the reason they wanted Melo and THT out there was because they needed scoring. In their first quarter, they were ahead, 32-30. And then they played a really bad second quarter, a great third quarter. They were down 11, came all the way back. And then they just ran out of gas in the fourth. So it wasn't a flawed game.
Not a terrible loss. It was a decent Russell Westbrook game. It was not a good AD game, though. It wasn't a good AD game. You pointed out, you sent me a note this morning, Anthony Davis shot zero free throws last night.
Yeah, now do you think that's his fault or the ref's fault?
I think that's his fault. I don't think he – and there was one particular call that I think really pissed him off where he went in for a dunk. And it did look like Giannis fouled him.
Mace, not only did it look like Giannis fouled him, it might have been a flagrant.
Yeah, I mean, it got no call. So I do understand that one. But for the most part, I didn't think Anthony Davis was on attack last night. I thought he was using that mid-range jump shot a lot as opposed to going to the rack because Giannis was down there. So I understand why he didn't get to the free throw line a lot. That one particular play not included.
I think you're not wrong to say it would be better if AD took the ball to the basket more and went inside, but I don't necessarily think he was 100%. He was limping around pretty noticeably. So let's give him some time. And now the best news is chance that LeBron plays tomorrow. He's been upgraded on the injury report from out to questionable, which is the first thing you need. And then the second thing you need is that he just doesn't wake up tomorrow morning and feel any pain. But I walked in with him last night, and I said, I hear you're getting close. He goes, real close.
Yeah.
So I think he's there.
You know, the one thing, they're 3-5 now without LeBron. LeBron has been down 8 games, and they're an even 8-8. I think, John, you at the beginning of the season said they would come out of the box and go 10-10.
Yeah, I'd be happy if they get that now, being that the next four are on the road.
Yeah, and LeBron has missed 8 games. They go 3-5. Now, here's what I think is disappointing. I thought the idea all along was to make sure LeBron is fresh, healthy, 100% for the postseason. And when he's not on the floor, and you just had an extended injury with the abdominal strain, when he's not on the floor, the idea is that Russell Westbrook will be able to carry us to victories. If LeBron doesn't have the ball in his hands because he's resting or he's injured or he's off, Westbrook is the guy that can do that. That has not proved to be the case. They're in an easy part of the schedule with a lot of home games, and they've gone 3-5 without LeBron. They need LeBron to win, and Westbrook cannot carry them when LeBron is out. Do you agree?
Sort of, but the reason I said they're going to be 10-10 after 20 games is I think that when you bring 11 new players onto your roster, and that's what the Lakers have done. They have 11 new players. It takes time for those guys to learn how to play together. So if they get to 10-10, let's see how they do after that. That's a quarter of the way through the schedule. 82-game schedule, 10-10 is not great. But then what I would hope as a Laker fan is you get some people healthy, you get some people back. At that point, you're used to playing with each other. And then the next 20 is when, even though it'll be harder, there'll be more games on the road, the opponents are better. Hopefully, at that point, you'll learn how to play together and you can go 15-5, 14-6, and start working on your record.
All right. It's Lakers Ticket Thursday. You can win a pair of tickets to see Lakers Kings at Staples Center. Every Thursday, we do this. At 3:30, you call in because Ireland will have or has told a lie at some point during the show.
Oh, that's right. I got a lie.
If you can sniff that out and call it 3:30, you get a pair of tickets, see Lakers Kings at Staples Center for Lakers Ticket Thursday. So make sure you are here for that. John, interesting. Go ahead and hit the Seinfeld sound because I'm going to pivot off this. And so the NFL power rankings have been released by ESPN for this week, the NFL power rankings. And the Rams were awful. Take a shot at the top five in the ESPN, according to all of their NFL writers, top five in the power rankings.
All right.
Bergman, you can try too, and Jorge, you can try.
So I still think Tampa Bay's in there, somewhere in there, 1-5. Are they?
Tampa Bay is listed as number 7 at 6-3.
All right, so that's one strike.
Well, Arizona.
Wait a minute. Green Bay has to be there.
Green Bay's number 1 right now. Green Bay at 8-2 is number 1.
Okay. Greg, don't you think Tennessee has to be there?
Ooh, that's a good one. Yeah, I think Tennessee's there.
Tennessee's number 2 at 8-2. Yeah, even though they lost Derrick Henry, they're still winning.
John, okay. You don't think Arizona's there with only 2 losses? Even though they don't have Kyler Murray right now?
Maybe, but let's work
hold
front
off
to
on
back.
That?
Yeah, okay. Buffalo. Don't you think Buffalo would be
Buffalo's
there before
number 6.
Arizona?
Okay.
Ooh, 2 strikes. Okay. All right, Arizona. We'll go with Bergman's.
Arizona's number 3 at 8-2.
Okay, so we have 2 more.
Big game hosting the Rams on December the 13th.
Greg, do you think Dallas is in there?
Dallas. Yeah, they have 3 losses?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's either
2
Dallas.
Losses. They are number 4. Yeah. Yes, okay. You're absolutely right.
So I'm going to take a wild. I'm going to take a wild guess. Even though they've been terrible, they were so dominant last week. I think Kansas City's the 5.
Ooh.
Kansas City is number 8.
No, I didn't. Yeah,
wow.
See,
so Greg, who do you think the 5 is?
I mean, the 5 is probably still the Rams.
It is. It's the Rams.
Oh, is it? Good.
They've got the Rams at 5. Now, the Rams, we're going to find out a lot in the next couple of weeks. They're on the bye this week. Next week, they're at Green Bay. Then they're home to Jacksonville. Won't learn anything from that. But then they're at the Cardinals after that. So they've got games at Green Bay and at Arizona, which will kind of be the benchmark for their season. What's interesting is if they broke for the playoffs today, the Rams would not have a home game. They're the 5 seed. They would not have a home game.
All that talk about how they could play all their games in L.A. since the Super Bowl was at SoFi goes out the window. They'd have to work their way back to SoFi.
They absolutely would. Yeah. So, it's a playoff team, but I think it remains to be seen until we see them against Green Bay. And I've got a good feeling about that game. Until we see them at Arizona, it's going to be hard to say. By the way, Kyler Murray is questionable again for this week.
Yeah.
So his ankle injury apparently is fairly significant. That would be the third consecutive week that he's missed. All right, coming up next for you is I'll get to the James Bond story at 3 o'clock. Make sure you're here for that. In the meantime, it is jump ball time when we come back. Bergman's going to throw a bunch of stuff at us. Mason Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Thanks very much, Chris. All right, so Joe Dumars is getting in on the Michael Jordan in today's game debate. Jordan played through hand-checking and the bad boy Pistons and a lot of other different rules that are not around today. But today, or the other day, Dumars says that Jordan would be unguardable with the rules of today. Is that, do you agree or disagree?
100% agree. You can't hand-check him. You couldn't put your hands on him. And Jordan was pretty much unguardable when you could put your hands on him. He won 7 scoring titles when you could put your hands on him. So, Mace, I agree. If under these rules, Michael Jordan and Elgin Baylor and George Gervin would be, those guys might average 40 points a game.
Yeah. Yeah, I think I completely agree. I mean, the game has obviously changed a lot. And a lot of people say, well, Jordan wasn't the prolific three-point shooter that a guy like Steph Curry. You know what? If the rules were the same, if the angle on the game was the same, I believe Michael Jordan, he was still a good three-point shooter, but I think he could have been, if he chose to, become a prolific three-point shooter. So I don't think it's fair to compare that aspect of the game, but John, you're absolutely right. No hand-checking. I think Michael Jordan would be just a beast in the NBA of 2021.
You don't think that the size and strength of the players today makes any difference in all that?
No, because they couldn't touch him. They wouldn't be able to put their hands.
Yeah, they wouldn't. I mean, look at Steph. Size doesn't matter with Steph. Okay. You don't necessarily have to be big and tough. And by the way, Jordan would have absolutely dominated. Jordan could be a physical player when he needed to, and without hand checking, I guess you buzzed.
No, I hit it a little bit early. It was okay. All right, anyway, there are 1,000 cooking shows, and honestly, most of them are pretty good.
Yeah.
But there's a new cooking show coming to Peacock on December 2nd, okay. Baking It with Andy Samberg and Maya Rudolph. The judges, 4 grandmothers. The series will see 8 teams of 8 of home bakers gathered in a winter cabin and competing in a series of themed challenges for the chance at $50,000. Are you in or out on, what is this called again? Baking It.
Baking It.
I'm in on anything with Andy Samberg and Maya Rudolph. I'm a huge SNL fan. Both of those characters were spectacular. Just an aside, Samberg's best skit of all time, blank in a box.
Oh,
Maya
yeah.
Rudolph's best impression of all time, Beyonce.
Whitney Houston. Oh, I thought her Whitney Houston was very funny.
Bobby Brown.
Weird night. By the way, and I'm on for those two. I mean, the idea of grandmothers judging is actually, you know, that's kind of a cute, sweet idea. And I would imagine the show's going to have a heart. Maya Rudolph, weird. I always find this surprising. Is married to one of my favorite film directors, Paul Thomas Anderson, who did Boogie Nights. Yeah. Maya Rudolph married to Paul Thomas Anderson. I don't think she's ever been in one of his movies, but I love Maya Rudolph. She's fantastic. She was also great as Kamala Harris on Saturday Night Live last year during all the presidential stuff.
All right, Jorge, your turn.
All right, gentlemen. So drone deliveries have taken flight in Pea Ridge, Arkansas, as Walmart partnered up with a drone company called Zipline. So customers get to select things from Walmart, mostly like wellness and health products. And then this company, Zipline, delivers them within a 50-mile radius. They send out drone-like planes. They're about 45 pounds in weight with a wingspan of 10 feet. And all you got to do is download their Zipline app. You make your shopping selections there and select the time you want to deliver it, and you put your address. They deliver it by dropping a box with a small parachute. Now, seriously, I'll send you guys a video.
Really?
This is interesting, yeah. So are you guys ready to have your stuff delivered via drone?
Well, I think whether we're ready or not, it's all coming, Jorge.
Yeah, I mean,
the drone
I think it's
delivery,
happening.
The driverless cars, the chip in your head.
You can't fight the future, man. You can't fight the future. Drone delivery is going to be commonplace, I think. It's going to start happening, so we might as well get used to it. What is this little town where they're doing it?
It's Pea Ridge, Arkansas.
P Pea Ridge, Arkansas. Who would have thought that Pea Ridge, Arkansas would be on the cutting edge of drone delivery?
That was one of the testing cities they tried it at. So it's a 50-mile radius, and it's from that Walmart nearby. And then that's where the testing happened. And then today it became official for that little town. And then they're planning on expanding nationwide in the future.
Yeah, sign me up. I'm all for it. Get stuff faster. Get stuff delivered. You know what it's doing, though? It's eliminating the jobs of all those people that drive around and leave stuff on the doorstep, which is the downside of it. But drone delivery is coming, so we might as well just embrace it because you can't fight the future, John.
All right, so the Sacramento Kings are, let's just call it, struggling. And yes, Luke Walton is on the hot seat already. But big man Tristan Thompson said this yesterday.
Oh, this was great.
Yeah, this is great.
Jorge, go ahead.
Opponents start going on runs like that 7-0 Carl Anthony Towns run at the start of the third quarter. You've been a vocal leader on this team. Is that on Coach Walton and the coaching staff to kind of inspire some change there? Does this team need more vocal leadership from players? Are you yourself trying to speak up from the bench in a timeout or even on the floor? Like, where's the vocal leadership with this team during those moments?
I'm going to say this. I think no man in this world should rely on another man to inspire them. Point blank player. You could put that in all capitals. Me personally, no one should ever need a coach to inspire you. If you don't get inspired in the game, then you shouldn't be on the court. Losing teams, losing players, you need to get inspiration from your coach. And I'm not with that.
I get the gist of it.
Yeah, so basically he said, I speak for my teammates on this with this quote that he don't need that stuff. So what do you think of Tristan's remarks?
100% accurate. Matter of fact, the one thing I've learned in covering pro sports over the years is that any coach will tell you, including Luke Walton, that when you turn a corner is when the team itself takes ownership, which is why a guy like Draymond Green is so valuable. Draymond Green will get on other players before the coach has to, because it means so much to him to win. Kobe was like this. Kobe was, if you screwed up, you'd hear it from Kobe before you'd hear it from Phil. Once the players take ownership of the team is when you start marching towards the championship level. And Mace, what that rant from Tristan Thompson told me was that they don't have that guy yet, whether it be De'Aaron Fox or Tyrese Halliburton or Buddy Hield or Harrison Barnes. Nobody is holding the other players accountable. Yep. And when that happens is when you start to lose.
Yeah, I mean, we saw this last week after the Minnesota loss. We saw AD blow up and say, you know, we're not very good. We suck right now. All that kind of stuff. I mean, I think there is a sense of ownership that has to – I think that's a great way to phrase it, a sense of ownership. Cheerleaders – coaches don't have to be cheerleaders. I mean, coaches don't have to be rah-rah guys. That's not necessary. Inspiration has to come from within. You've got to find a way to go out there and leave it on the floor every single night. And by the way, that's not easy. That's not an easy thing to do. You're going to have nights where, despite everything, it might not be there. It happens to everybody on every job. There are certain shows where I think we are inspired, and there are other shows I think we're slugging our way through. But you know what? We don't have a cheerleader. We don't have a rah-rah person. Amanda cheers us on. But ultimately, that inspiration has to come from within. And if you can't do that at the NBA level, then you just shouldn't be there.
Martin Scorsese is back at it. He's going to be directing an upcoming Grateful Dead biopic that will star Jonah Hill as Jerry Garcia.
Oh, he's perfect.
Jerry was a big guy, and Jonah is no longer a big guy. He doesn't want us obviously talking about his weight anymore. He doesn't like when people talk about his weight because, you know. But anyway, will he put it all back on for this role, or you like this role?
Okay, now, let me see. 2 weeks ago, Jonah Hill said, don't talk about my weight anymore. And then you invent a question that talks about Jonah Hill's weight.
Yeah, because you know what? Well, everybody else talks about about other people's weight.
In this case, it's an issue too, Mace. Do you think he'll put the weight back? Like Robert De Niro, when he played Al Capone in The Untouchables, gained 30 pounds. Matt Damon had a role where he had to gain a bunch of weight. There are method actors that will take this leap, that will actually, they don't want to wear a fat suit, so they'll gain 30 pounds to play a bigger guy. It'll be very interesting to see what Jonah Hill decides to do. But
he could do it with a fat suit. Although, you know, I'm looking at pictures of Jerry Garcia. He was not like gigantic. It's not like he was gigantic. He was a big gut on him, but wasn't like a really extremely overweight guy. So you wouldn't necessarily have to gain that much. We talked about this yesterday, John. De Niro, who gained all that weight for Raging Bull, never quite was able to get rid of it. Still has been a factor in his life. It changed his body chemistry, and he still has trouble keeping weight off. So whenever you do that drastic weight loss, like Christian Bale has done, Christian Bale did that for The Fighter. He did that for The Machinist. Did you ever see the movie The Machinist?
No, but he's that way. He's that guy. He's the guy that'll go.
He got himself down to about 105 pounds. He looked, just completely emaciated. But when you mess with that stuff, you got to be really careful. So I don't think Jonah Hill would necessarily have to gain a bunch of weight. Could use a fat suit. Could use a big fake belly. But you know, Jonah Hill doesn't want us to talk about his weight, so I'm not going to talk about his weight. Talk about mine. I hit 209 today, which is disaster.
You need a Peloton.
Yeah, I do need one.
I'm at 201, so.
Yeah, congratulations.
All right. Tom Holland is 25 years old and is becoming a superstar. He's obviously Spider-Man. And he's also in the new Uncharted movie that's based off of a massive hit of a video game that I played in. It was great. But in an interview the other day with GQ, he said that if he is still playing Spider-Man after 30, then he is doing something wrong. Should he stick to what works and be a massive success at it and stay as Spider-Man, or try and spread out to other roles and possibly fail because he's going to be seen as always Spider-Man?
Well, it didn't hurt Daniel Craig. He kept an acting career mace outside of James Bond.
Sure.
So Tom Holland could do the same thing. Just because you like Matt Damon is Jason Bourne, but he has a whole career outside of Jason Bourne. So you can do both if you want to.
Yeah, I think he can. I think he's a talented kid. By the way, he was on Broadway when he was a kid doing Billy Elliot, the musical. I mean, he's a really talented guy. He's great as Spider-Man because he's really funny and he's really snarky and just comes across like a really good kid. I like the fact that they're using a younger Spider-Man who's kind of learning the ropes. It's learning the webs, maybe, the way Tom Holland is. But no, Tom Holland, you have time between Marvel movies. You could absolutely go out and do other stuff and use Marvel as your base. I would imagine he'll wind up doing both.
But you've never had an actor or an actress that you look at and you say, oh, that's that person. This is this person from this movie. Like, you
give
only
me an
see
example.
Him as that. So, like, for me, Chris Evans, who plays Captain America, I only see him as the quarterback from Not Another Teen Movie, which is a weird one, but that's every time I look at him, all I see is the quarterback from Not Another Teen Movie.
See, I think that's just about you. By the way, Not Another Teen Movie, ridiculously underrated and
great.
Really,
totally
really
great.
Funny movie.
Great movie.
Makes me laugh every
it's
time
no
I see it.
It's no Ernest Scared Stupid.
No, that's
it's
terrifying.
Really good.
This one was funny.
But when I look at Chris Evans, I think superhero. I think Marvel. I don't think Not Another Teen Movie.
It's all I see from him. Every time I see his face, I just see him as that quarterback.
Look at Daniel Craig. Daniel Craig does Bond, and he also did that weird detective guy in Knives Out.
He's Bond to me. I only see him as Bond at this point.
Is Matthew Damon only Bourne?
No, totally different. He's been in a whole bunch of other movies before Bourne.
Is Tom Cruise only Mission Impossible?
No, he's been in a ton of movies before Mission Impossible.
So if those guys are doing their franchises and doing other movies, what do you have against Tom Holland?
Why is this something against him? I'm saying when I see him from now on. So okay, so in this Uncharted,
but I've never he seems like a nice kid. I'm not sure why you've built up this level of dislike for Tom Holland.
I don't know where you got to dislike, but like when I saw the Uncharted trailer, which I was really excited for, I saw him as Spider-Man in Uncharted. I didn't see him as Tom Holland in Uncharted or as the character. That's just a mind thing that maybe it's just me, but that's what I see out of them.
Yeah, look at the Harry Potter kid. He never made it
out
of Harry Potter. That's his role.
Yeah, he's Harry Potter.
Daniel Radcliffe.
Daniel Radcliffe is Harry Potter. There's nothing you can do about it now.
Yeah, but look at the other one. The Twilight guy is now Batman, and the Twilight girl is now Lady Diana.
Do you see? I mean, also you're talking
about
eight movies.
I never saw those movies. Those were the vampire and werewolf movies, right?
Sure, but Harry Potter was eight movies, and he was played the same role for eight straight movies, and it was when he was going from like little to big.
Well, this happens a lot in acting. I mean, like you wonder, Game of Thrones was such a phenomenon. Will any of those actors ever evolve out of Game of Thrones? In other words, like the people that played Sonya and Arya and Ned Stark, you know, all the key roles, Khaleesi, all the, you know, Jon Snow. Will those people ever get a career outside of Thrones? It's hard to
tell.
Yeah, I mean,
they've all got movies coming out. We'll see. But you're right. Can you outrun
the role of your life?
The role of your life. Yeah, I guess that's a fair question, Bert. Yeah. I think that's a fair question.
Thank you. And for the record, I have nothing against Tom Holland. I actually like Tom Holland.
Tom Holland. That's just weird.
Weird that you would dislike him. He seems like such a nice kid. All right, there is your jump ball for today. Coming up next, somebody raised an issue on Twitter about Michael Jordan and why he may not have been as successful in this era. We talked about how he would just eat it up in this era. There's one aspect of it that we actually didn't talk about, and I promised I would have the guy who is actually openly campaigning for the role of James Bond. That's coming up next for you. Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.